We're talking with Marcia Hopple, who is being recognized by the Albany Women Against War on Thursday, April 4th, as the 2019 Woman of Peace awardee. That's going to be at the First Lutheran Church, 181 Weston Avenue in Albany at 5:30. So congratulations, Marcia. But maybe we could start off just giving us, how did you get involved as a peace activist?
Well, Women Against War was the first organization that I got involved with heavily on the subject of peace, and that was back more than 15 years ago when we were concerned about the move, the drum roll to war with Iraq after 9/11. And I remember that Judith Enke and Eleanor Stein got together to ask other women to join them in a women's group for peace, which we came up with a name for fairly soon, which was Women Against War. And several of us got involved at that point in a women's fast for peace, and which I could tell you more about, but it was very bonding among many women who heard about it in the newspapers at the time and from other women. And it brought in a lot of what are now longtime women who follow what we do, who learn about issues from us. We tell about other peace groups' issues. We work together closely with them. And so we've been continuous in our activities every year since then. And I can tell you about more activities if you'd like to know about more.
Now, unfortunately, even though it's now, 15, 16 years later, the presence of our troops in the Middle East, in Iraq, and Afghanistan is no longer major news. We seem to be ramping up to war against Venezuela at the moment. How much of an impact do you think Women Against War has had over the last 15 years, or the peace movement in general?
I don't know that it's had an impact I wish it had on avoiding war or on reducing militarism, although we have certainly tried. But I hope what it does do, and I think what it does do, is help to get the more of the general public, because we show up in the papers or we show up on the sidewalks and we organize at college, help to organize events at colleges and so forth, that we do get more people all the time to have awareness of the opportunity for peace and a preference for diplomacy and maybe a willingness to get active and convince their legislators to avoid war when they can. But anyway, we can't ever tell, and none of the peace groups I think can tell what our impact is. Although we do know of many people who know about us and listen to what we have to say when we get a chance to put out the messages.
Now, on this April 4th event, which you'll be honored at a dinner, I understand that Pat Hines, who is going to be speaking about war and warming, that, can we save the planet without, taking on the Pentagon and the issue of, climate change. I don't know if you want to talk anything about this particular talk, but, what are some of the other issues and events that Women Against War continue to work on locally?
Well, that's a good place to mention that Women Against War has had an annual gathering of all. We invite other peace groups to have people come, as well as all our members who may not be always at our demonstrations and things, to get together and meet each other and hear a speaker. And this time it is Pat Hines from Western Massachusetts, from an organization called Trap Rock Center for Peace and Justice, which I believe also goes back a long way. And she'll be talking about something called, that she titles, War and Warming: Can We Save the Planet Without Taking on the Pentagon? There are lots of aspects to this idea of global warming and militarism and our own military in particular. Her angle is that, as I will quote from her, oil is indispensable for war and militarism. So think of it as the lifeblood coursing through our foreign policy, a policy based on maintaining superpower status and confronting those whom we perceive as challenging us. That's one side of it. The other side of it that I'm a little familiar with from Women Against War is that our own military is the largest polluter globally in terms of carbon dioxide. Its carbon footprint is just atrocious when you think about all those jets and all those bases. And then on top of that, the military is one of the first or one of the most prominent report issuers about the fact that climate change is a threat to the security of this country. So there's many ways in which this all winds around together. I'll be looking forward to hearing what she has to say about it. But it is a huge, huge aspect of global warming. She's kind of typical. We often find, as speakers, we often find women who have great expertise and who are good for us to have in many ways as speakers for college campuses, for the public, for church groups, and even often interviewed by people like you and WAMC and so forth. So that's pretty typical of what we do every year.
Well, speaking of college campuses, most of the women I know in Women Against War, let's say, have been doing this for quite a while. And how is the younger generation, the millennials, getting involved with the peace movement and Women Against War?
I don't see very many, but we did. We recently had Kathy Kelly speak and got a lot of publicity before Kathy Kelly appeared. She's with Voices for Creative Nonviolence, I believe it's called, in Chicago. And Kathy's well known for her being willing to be in the midst of war places and helping people directly and speaking. We did have some college audiences and some young people come up to hear her. And I think that, again, that helps. I hope it gets, I'm sure Women Against War and she are on Facebook and so forth now. And I hope young people are finding out that there is a constituency that's working hard on these issues and that they do have the chance to pick up after us and to continue this kind of work.
You know, traditionally the military has been seen as one avenue that low-income people and people of color, young men and women, can pursue in order to, get a little better economic future. Has race and militarism been something that the Women Against War has addressed over time?
No, I wouldn't say that angle on it is anything that we have pursued, although I agree with you. we have mostly just been worried about and done art exhibits and so forth about the idea that militarism is so ingrained in our society and in the global society and economy. And so we really have tried to make people aware that like our police departments are getting militarized and so forth, and our military is so gigantic. I hope that a better military will come about because of young people that go into it, but also because it gets smaller and more to scale with what we probably really need, and much more conscious in many ways.
We have about a minute left. I understand there's another Women Against War event coming up before April 4th.
Well, thank you. It's actually a speaker, Tim Sharrock, who's a Washington, D.C.-based journalist, and it's just nice to let people know that, again, we're active in the area. In this case, it's a journalist who will speak to journalism students at the College of St. Rose and the University of Albany about his, particularly his recent reporting on the Korea negotiations. But he has a long history with The Nation and other publications as a journalist, and we've brought him to the area as a person to speak with students and to speak about the issue of Korea, in this case, the most current issue that we're working on with him. And it isn't something that the public could come to, as far as I understand it, but I just wanted to make sure people knew that we're working on it.
So we've been talking with Marsha Hopple, and she is being recognized as the 2019 Woman of Peace awardee by Women Against War. Their annual gathering is taking place on Thursday, April 4th at 5:30 p.m. And then there will be a speaker, Pat Hines, on war and woman. Can we save the planet without taking on the Pentagon? Does Women Against War have a website or a Facebook?
Yes, the womenagainstwar.org is our website, and it should get you good information on all of this.
And this has been Mark Dunley with Marsha Hopp.